किसके पास भगवत गीता है? अच्छा, बहुत सारे हाथ उठा है, तुम्हारे पास भगवत गीता है बल्कि पढ़ नहीं रहे हो। तो ये क्या सही है? ये ठीक है? होना चाहिए ऐसा? भगवत गीता पढ़ना चाहिए? तो आप बताओ, कौन कौन आज से भगवत गीता पढ़ते रहोगे? वेरी गुड, प्लीज रीड दिस बुक्स। मैं जब, तुम्हारा नाम क्या है? चमन। चमन, मैं जब चमन को पूछा, मैं हिंदी में पूछा बल्कि चमन अंग्रेजी में बोलने लगा। तो क्या ये अच्छा रहेगा कि मैं भी अंग्रेजी में बोलूं? हाँ, कौन चाहते हो कि मैं अंग्रेजी में बोलूं? अच्छा, कौन चाह, ठीक है, तो मैं ऐसा करूंगा, मैं थोड़ा अंग्रेजी में बोलूं कि थोड़ा हिंदी में भी बोलूं? हाँ, वो ठीक रहेगा? कौन सोचते हो कि वो ठीक रहेगा? सब दो हाथ उठाओ जो चाहते हो। हरे कृष्णा, हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा, हरे हरे, हरे राम, हरे राम, राम राम, हरे हरे। ओके, लेट मी स्पीक इन इंग्लिश बिकॉज I feel easier to express myself in English. So, when we want to know about somebody or something, then we have to get proper information about that person. And what are the sources of information? Generally, books are the sources of information. And just the books are not enough. The books have to be explained by a teacher. So books and the teachers, both are important. Now, if we want to know about God, then do we need to study about Him from the books under the guidance of some teachers? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. And the books are available. Books are available. One of the most important books in this respect is Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by God Himself. And if you read Bhagavad Gita, you will see that never ever in Bhagavad Gita Krishna mentioned that He doesn't have a form. He never mentioned that He is Nirakar. On the other hand, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually mentioned that those who follow the path of Nirakar or Bhakta, impersonal or formless, are simply inviting distress from themselves. Abhyakta hi gatir dukkham. Dukkha means dukkh. Suffering. So those who are following the path of impersonalism or bhakta, or those who think that God is nirakar, they are simply inviting more and more distress from this for themselves. Klesha adhikatara stesham abhyakta shakta chetasham. Those who are interested in the impersonal form, impersonal aspect, they are simply inviting klesha. Klesha means suffering. And because abhyakta hi gatir dukkham, this impersonalism, the belief that God doesn't have a form, is simply increase the suffering because it is leading to suffering. Now, Well, the Lord also has the impersonal aspect. It is not that He doesn't have. In the scriptures, it has been pointed out that the Lord, Krishna, Bhagavan, has three aspects. Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahma is Nirakar. Brahma is Nirakar. But what is Brahma? Brahma is the energy. Naturally, energy is without a form. But behind every energy, there must be an energetic. Can energy come without the energetic? There must be an energetic. So the energy is without form, but the energetic is with form. As I pointed out, Brahma is Nirvishesh, Nirakar. But Bhagavan is not Nirakar. Bhagavan is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna is Bhagavan. Now, is Krishna with form or without form? With form. Krishna is with form. Only thing is that Krishna's form is spiritual. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Krishna is Ishvara Parama. Parama Ishvara. Krishna is Param Ishvar. Parameshwar. Param Ishvar. What is the meaning of the word Param Ishvar? Ishvar means the controller. And Param means ये परम शब्द तो हिंदी में भी आता है परम सबसे बढ़कर सुप्रीम सुप्रीम देर आर मेनी कंट्रोलर्स लाइक यू आर द कंट्रोलर ऑफ योर हाउस राइट यू आर द कंट्रोलर ऑफ योर बॉडी यू आर द कंट्रोलर ऑफ योर बैंक बैलेंस यू आर द कंट्रोलर ऑफ योर फैमिली. In this way, there are many controllers, like the Chief Prime Minister of India is the controller of India, right? The Prime Minister, the President of America is the controller of America, and he is to some extent controlling the whole world. And this way, we go even beyond. In Swargaloka, if we go there, we'll find the Indra is the controller. Then we go to Satyaloka, we'll find that Brahma is the controller of the whole universe. This Brahmand is controlled by Lord Brahma. So in this way there are many, many controllers, but the supreme controller, supreme, who is the highest controller, who is controlling everything, who is that? That is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Now, Satchidananda Vigraha. Vigraha means his form. Krishna's form is Sat Chit Anand. Krishna's form is made of three substances. They are known as Sat, Chit and Anand. Sat means eternal. Chit means fully conscious. And Anand means joy. So Krishna's form is full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Whereas our forms are panchabhutatmak. Right? Ye sharir kisse bana hai? Panchabhut se bana hai. Mitti, pani, agni, vayu aur akash. Balki Krishna ka sharir aise mitti, pani, agni se nahi bana hai. Krishna ka sharir Satchidananda Vigraha. वैसे जबकि हमारा ये शरीर पंचभूतात्मक है परंतु हमारा आत्मा क्या पंचभूत से बना है? आत्मा भी सच्चिदानंद है. हम अपना स्वरूप में सच आत्मा है और हमारा आत्मिक स्वरूप है सच्चिदानंद. बल्कि इस भौतिक जगत में आने के कारण हम हमारा आत्मिक स्वरूप को भूल गए हैं और हम अपना ये शरीर को अपना स्वरूप समझ रहे हैं. ये एक गलत फहमी है. ये गलत चिंतन है कि हम सोच रहे हैं कि ये हमारा ये शरीर मैं हूं। यद्यपि हम सोच रहे हैं कि ये शरीर मैं हूं, परंतु असल में हम हमारे शरीर नहीं है। हमारा स्वरूप में हम सब आत्मा हैं। जैसे ये शरीर छोड़ के एक समय हम सब चले जाएंगे, जब शरीर छोड़ के कोई चले जाते हैं तो हम क्या बोलते हैं? हम बोलते हैं वो चले गए हैं, है ना? हाँ, देहांत हो गया है, शरीर छोड़ के चले गए हैं, शरीर पड़ा हुआ है, बल्कि हम बोलते हैं कि वो चले गए हैं। तो कौन चले गए हैं? आत्मा चले गए हैं। जब तक ये आत्मा शरीर में रहता है तो ये शरीर में जीवन रहता है, ये शरीर जिंदा रहता है। जब आत्मा शरीर छोड़ के चला जाता है तब ये शरीर का मृत्यु हो जाता है। मतलब ये शरीर जो पंचभूत से बना हुआ जो शरीर, ये पंचभूत मिट्टी पानी अग्नि, उसमें चेतना है अचेतन है, जड़ है। ये जड़ पदार्थ से बना हुआ ये शरीर भी जड़ है। तो ये जड़ शरीर आत्मा चले जाने के पश्चात जड़ बन जाता है। तो वैसे हम देख सकते हैं कि आत्मा के रहने के कारण शरीर में जीवन है। शरीर यद्यपि मिट्टी पानी आदि जड़ पदार्थ से बना हुआ है, पर इसमें चेतना है। बल्कि ये चेतना शरीर का नहीं है, चेतना है आत्मा का। शरीर के माध्यम, इंद्रिया के माध्यम, नर्वस सिस्टम के माध्यम ये चेतना बह रही है। जब आत्मा चला जाता है तो चेतना भी चला जाता है, और तब ये शरीर का मृत्यु होता है। सो एवरीबॉडी इज इन एग्रीमेंट विथ दिस पॉइंट्स? यस, ओके। नाउ आई विल कम टू द मेन पॉइंट दैट आई वॉज सपोज टू एड्रेस टूडे। द मेन पॉइंट एक्चुअली इज द रोल ऑफ द यूथ ऑफ इंडिया टूअर्ड्स अ बेटर वर्ल्ड, towards creating a better world. So now we have understood that there are two things, matter and spirit, soul. In this, our body is made of matter, but the soul is making the body alive. Matter is inert, right? Now if we are pursuing a culture where the whole attention is on the body, then what will happen? At the time of death, everything will be finished. Or people will try to keep this body alive as long as possible. But no matter how much you try to keep this body alive, but the body will not remain alive forever. Everybody has to die. We have seen everyone in the past has died. Many people in the present are dying. And everybody in the future will die. Is this a universal truth? It's an universal truth that everybody has to die. So die means we have to leave this body behind. And when we leave this body behind, we leave everything behind with the body. Everything material will be left behind. No, say somebody has made billions of dollars, like Bill Gates. Now, even more wealthy than Bill Gates is Ambani. Which Ambani is that? Mukesh Ambani. Mukesh Ambani is the richest man in the world.
Now it has come down again.
Oh, now it has come down. Okay. So see, he was the richest man only for a few days. Right. Now, consider, no matter how rich Mukesh Ambani or Bill Gates or whoever is, no matter how much money he has in the bank, at the time of his death, will he be able to extend his life with all the money in the bank? And when he leaves his body after death, will he be able to claim a single penny of the money that he has created? All the dynasty that he has created, big palaces that he built, will he be able to claim any of these? So this is how futile our materialistic endeavors are. Materially, no matter how much you acquire, you will have to leave everything behind. Now at least we have come to an agreement that the soul will not die and we are the soul. Let us see how many of you are in agreement that you are a spirit soul, you are Atma. Please raise your hand. Very good. Almost all of you have raised your hands. And will the Atma ever die? No. Will you die? No. If you are an Atma, how many, once again, let's see. How many of you believe that you are Atma? Okay. Now let us follow a simple equation. Everyone is Atma. Atma never dies. Therefore, no one will die. Alright? Isn't it a simple calculation? Okay, you are Atma. Atma never dies. Will you die? No. Very good. So you will not die. Who will die? The body will die. You will leave the, when the Atma leaves the body will die. But the Atma will continue to exist. Okay, so that means after you die, you will continue to exist. Now you consider, when you die, you won't be able to take your relatives with you. You won't be able to take your bank account with you. You won't be able to take your house with you. You won't be able to take anything with you. Then what's going to happen to you? Say for example, you are a very rich man here. You are a very rich man. And then you go to America. But when you go to America, you don't have any money. You don't have any place to stay. You don't have any food to eat. How will you feel? How will you feel? Will you feel very happy? No. Now you consider, after death you will continue to exist. But you don't have any asset. Or if you don't have any asset, you will be in such a difficult situation. Therefore, what should be an intelligent thing to do? To create some asset that after death you can cash on. Right? Won't it be better to have a bank account that you can have access to even after death? Okay, now how can we create that bank account? In order to do that, we have to know the policy, the process, how to create the bank account, or how to create some assets even after death. Right? Now, in order to do that, we have to know, right? Like for example, how to make money here, you have to learn. You are studying different subjects, right? Why are you studying? So that you can make some money afterwards, isn't it? Why people study? Why do people study? Why are you all studying? Why people do things? To make money, to make some nice living. So similarly, isn't it important to make some arrangement for our next life? And in order to do that, we have to have informations about the Atma and the spiritual reality. Now in this world, is there any information? Does any school or college or university is giving the information? Is it giving? No. Why not? Because today India is actually following the West. India's education system is not Indian education system. Indian education system is a Western education system. India has borrowed that system. And this Western education system is simply based on materialistic culture. It is simply based on materialism. West is materialistic. Western culture is absolutely materialistic. But the spiritual culture is available only in India. Now, can this world be happy just pursuing materialistic culture? We are seeing that Western world, although have made so much progress materially, but people are not happy. Can somebody close that door? It's kind of disturbing. Those who are... Just close that door. If you take the statistics of this world, you will find the more prosperous the country, the more is the number of suicide, more is the number of abortion, more is the number of divorce, more is the number of crime. The more materially they are progressing, consider at least just one point. More they are becoming materially successful, more they are committing suicide. What does this indicate? Does it indicate that these people are so happy with their material progress that they are killing themselves? Does anybody kill himself out of happiness? No. People kill themselves due to intense suffering. So what is it, this one point, one statistical consideration, what is it indicating? That more they are making their materialistic progress, more they are becoming unhappy. On the other hand, you come to India. In India, compared to the Western world, India is a poor country. India is not actually a poor country. India is the richest country. Even materially, India is the richest country. But the problem with India is that the wealth in India is oddly distributed. A handful of people have so much money and the rest of the people don't have anything. The condition is changing in India. But generally, that is the reason why India appears to be a poor country. Anyway, even if we consider that people in India are poverty stricken, but you will find that people in India are relatively much happier than the people in the West. You know, what is the sign of happiness? Just in a common way, what makes us happy? The indication of happiness can be determined by two factors. Sleeping nicely at night and having a good appetite. If you have a good appetite and if you can sleep like a log at night, you can consider that you are happy. Or rather put it the other way around. What is the cause of unhappiness? When people are unhappy, they can sleep at night. When people are unhappy, they cannot digest their food. I have seen many people in the West. They are filthy rich. They have so much money that they do not know what to do with their money. But you know what is he able to, what that one person that I was thinking of, what he eats? He can eat only two biscuits. And that also he dips it in a cup of tea or coffee and the biscuit becomes soft and he eats that. See, he has all the money but he can't eat anything. Consider how sad he must be. But in India, you go to the villages, you'll see, although these people are poor, they sleep like a log. You try to wake up a villager at midnight, even if you drop a thunderbolt, he won't wake up. And his appetite is so good that give him patthar, wo bhi hajam kar lenge. So, and besides that, they laugh. When people are sad, they can't laugh. Sweden is one country, you will see people don't smile. They all have a grouchy, sad face. They have so much wealth. They have so much wealth, but they can't laugh. They can't smile. Whereas in India, although the person is poverty-stricken, but he is laughing, he is smiling happily. He is spending his time with his friends, you know, singing and dancing. This is India. And what is the real wealth of India? The real wealth of India is the spiritual knowledge. You ask an Indian, I have my experience. Once, don't disturb like that. Don't come like that. Just either set it up first or don't do it. In India, I have seen person, very simple people, like a sweeper, like a cobbler. But you ask him whether he believes in reincarnation, he'll say yes. This life is not everything. I know I'll come back again. I'll have another body. You ask him, do you believe that you are the soul, you are Atma? Yes, I believe in that. Do you believe that Atma will never die? Yes. So this knowledge they have. On the other hand, in the West, I will give you an example. One of our devotees' grandfather, mother's father, was a high court judge. Generally, high court judges are very learned, intellectual people. So, he invited his grandfather to come and he introduced him to me. I was talking to him. And while I was discussing with him, I could not make a very simple point, make him understand a very simple point, that the trees also have soul. Then I went to the extent that animals have soul. And he couldn't accept it. Why? Because he doesn't have any information about soul. He doesn't know what soul is. Therefore, he cannot accept that a tree has soul. He could not accept that even an animal has a soul. And then it took me a long endeavor, you know, to explain. And of course, finally he accepted. But then, when he understood, the way I made him understand, the simple way to make this point is that, is a tree conscious? Does tree have consciousness? Does tree have consciousness? Anybody who studied biology will accept it. Didn't you do it in your biology class? In zoology class? Like you kept a tree upside down, a tree in a tub upside down, what happened? The branches went, the other up, went upwards, although the tree was turned upside down. We placed the tub of a plant near the window. Which way does it move? Towards the sun. Now doesn't it indicate that a tree has consciousness? Does an animal have consciousness? Everybody will accept animal has consciousness. You beat a dog, the dog will cry. Right? So where does the consciousness come from? Consciousness comes from the soul. Right? Therefore, wherever there is consciousness, there must be soul. The trees have consciousness, therefore there must be a soul in the tree. Animals, even insects, worms, they have consciousness, therefore they must have a soul. Now the point is that even such a learned person in the West could not understand a simple thing like this. Why? Because he didn't have the information. Now tell me, what will make us happy? Really happy. If we think that at the time of death, Everything will be finished. I'll not be there anymore. I won't be existing. Whatever I have to do, I have to do only in this life. And when I'm dead, everything will be finished. Will this understanding make us happy? Or that I will continue to exist even after death? Because I am a spirit soul and the soul is immortal. Out of these two proposals, which one will make us relatively more happy? That I am a soul and I will not die, that will make us happy. Now, if we do not have that understanding, can we possibly become happy? No. Can we possibly become honest? If I think that this is everything, and if I can bribe the police or if I can bribe the court, and I can continue to commit all kinds of sinful activities, I can steal, I can kill, I can rob, I can loot, and try to enjoy in this world, because in this life is everything, there is nothing after that. Will people be honest? No, people will become dishonest. That's as they're becoming. Where people do not have any information about the next life that will continue to exist after death, their only fear is the police system and the law system. That's why they don't commit crime, because they'll be punished by the police and by the law. If that is not there, then they will become reckless and they will do anything and everything that they can do. Right? So people will naturally become dishonest if they don't have any information about the next life. On the other hand, if I know that the way I am acting now will have its relevance in my next life. If I act in a bad way, I'll be punished. Whether the police catches me, whether the court punishes me, doesn't matter. I'll continue to live after death. And if I'm doing something wrong, I'll be punished sometime or other. Won't I think twice before committing a crime? Naturally, we won't commit a crime. Like, for that matter, we can consider, you know, in 1942, there was a big famine, big scarcity of food. Many people died of starvation. But you know, there was not a single case of stealing or looting in spite of this famine. Why? Because people knew it is better to even die than commit a crime. Because if I commit a crime, I'll be punished afterwards. This is India. This is India. And this is India's real wealth, the spiritual wealth that nobody has in the world. Now, I can tell you, the Western world, no matter materially they have been so successful, or no matter how successful they have been materially, but they are looking up to India for the spiritual knowledge. Because they know, the intelligent class of people in the West know that materialism is not going to give them happiness. Materialistic culture is not going to solve the problems of the world. Therefore, they know that it is the spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom, that is going to enrich them with proper information. And where to find those information? India is the place. Now tell me, do the youth of India have some responsibility towards a better world? Why I am addressing it to the youth? Because it is the youth that makes things happen. When you become old, not even old, I tell you, when you get married, forget it. You won't have any more enthusiasm, you won't have any more drive, you won't have any more idealism. Therefore, if you want to achieve something, do it before you get married. And as I said, because the youth has the energy, youth has the vitality, youth has the drive, and youth have the dream of the future. Therefore, they want to create a better world. And how to create a better world? The only way we can create a better world by giving the proper spiritual understanding. It is only the proper spiritual understanding that is going to make this world a better place. Because materialistic culture has ruined their world. Materialistic culture has destroyed this world, or at least destroyed the human civilization. And whenever you see anything great that has been achieved in the world, who achieved them? Did the great achievements been achieved by old people? No, it has been achieved with the youth. It is the youth that can achieve something. If you want to change, if the world needs to be changed, then it is the youth who will have to change this world. And who are you? You are the youth. Now please sincerely consider, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to do something remarkable? Are you going to do something outstanding? Are you going to do something that will turn this hellish world into a paradise? Or don't you want? Do you want to live in a hell, or do you want to live in paradise? You want to now. Do you think the condition of this world is paradisical or hellish? The world condition has become hellish. Now who is going to change it? It is you all who will have to change it. We are old people. We won't be able to do very much. All we can do is we can stand behind you and push you. That's what I'm trying to do. We are trying to push you. You all go ahead. Do it. We'll give you all the support. Change the world. But in order to change the world, first of all, you have to consider how to change the world. That means you have to enrich yourself with the proper understanding, with knowledge. You have to strengthen yourself with the strength and power. And what is that power? That power again is the power of wisdom, power of knowledge, the power of the spiritual culture. And on top of everything, when you surrender unto the Lord, when you surrender to Krishna, I can assure you, I can guarantee you that Krishna will empower you. As I gave a small little example, like Sudipta, he simply wanted to run his business for Krishna. And someday maybe you can have a meeting with him and he can tell you how his business had been growing. Why? And he knows. Maybe I'll ask him. When I'll be finishing now, maybe then I'll ask him about his experience. His youth, do you consider 32-year-old is a young man? He's quite young. So I'll ask Sudipta to say something. Give him the mic. Tell about your own experience. Okay.
Embarrassing for my point of view. But nonetheless, the facts are facts, and Maharaj has stated them very clearly. And in terms of my experience, I can say, like 4 years ago when I started off with this new company, we basically started from scratch, means from zero. And, you know, as we progress, like my first consideration was that Guru Maharaj has always told me, especially when I was traveling as a secretary, and he said, if you're 50% depression, and one of the points you made is that ultimately in business, what you do is you get into partnership with powerful people. That's the game of business. Business means you partner with powerful people. That's why people partner with big companies, big business houses and so on. So ultimate consideration is Krishna is the absolute powerful person. So what he told me, if you do this experiment, you will see the result for yourself. And now that this company and all this group...
So who did you make partnership with?
So yes, following Guru Maharaj's instruction, obviously I partnered with Krishna through 50% shares in Krishna's service. And 4 years down the line, I can say that with business in Canada, India, South America, Europe, Southeast Asia, India, I can actually say that the growth has been phenomenal. And I know for a fact it has not happened because of my qualifications. Not because of, I mean, yes, I have tried hard, but there are so many people in this world who are trying very, very hard to achieve success. So it is not only by trying that one achieves success. One achieves success when ultimately that success is used in the service of the Lord. And I'm just saying, you're saying that the topic today is what you should do. The main point is every one of us, every one of you, have some talent or the other. And I can, from my own experience anyway, I can say that if you use the talent in Krishna service, not only will you be doing ourselves, not only will you be serving the world, but will you be doing ourselves a very good service. So this is beneficial to both ways, not just for the society, but for yourself. And I would say, you know, take the risk or take the challenge, do it and see it for yourself. And I think you'll never regret it. That's been my experience. Thank you.
So here, I just want to also add that, you see, when I ask you to do something to create a better world, I don't mean that everybody has to become a sadhu and preach Krishna consciousness. Like, yes, somebody, if somebody wants to do that, that's very good. But even if that is not what you want to do, but you can do something for Krishna. And I can assure you, by doing that, you will create a big impact on this world. Because what is the problem of today's world? The problem of today's world is that people have forgotten Krishna. That is the main problem. That people have forgotten Krishna, that's why they are suffering. Say for example, if somebody goes to your house, you invite somebody to come to your house, and that person does not accept you as the owner of the house, and he starts to behave as if he is the owner, how will you feel? And how will that person feel? In simple words, won't he be a thief? If somebody comes to your house and without taking your permission, tries to accept everything as if it belongs to him? Now you consider, who does this world belong to? Who does this world belong to? It belongs to Krishna, it belongs to God. But we are living in the world that belongs to God, but if we do not accept His proprietorship, who are we then? Aren't we becoming thieves? We are taking His things without His permission. Isn't it stealing? And can a thief ever be happy? So if we become thieves, will we ever be happy? No. On the other hand, if we accept the authority of Krishna, the proprietorship of Krishna, and act with that understanding, everything will become so wonderful. Because Krishna is already giving us everything that we need. He's giving us everything that we need. So why? He is doing that because He loves us. So when He already loves us, when He is already making all these wonderful arrangements for us, if we simply accept His authority, what will be the harm? So do whatever, I mean, even if you want to pursue something, say for example, your name is Chaman, yeah. Chaman wants to be a pharmacist, right? Okay, you can be a pharmacist, but you can do it for Krishna. You can do it for Krishna. So that will become spiritual. And when you are doing it for Krishna, people will get to know that you are doing it for Krishna. And this way they will get to know about Krishna. If somebody is a doctor, if somebody is an engineer, if somebody is a company executive, if they all do their things with the understanding that they are doing it for Krishna, and Krishna is the supreme proprietor, then it will make a big change to this world. And ultimately, of course, I will say that you enrich yourself with this knowledge and distribute this knowledge to the world around you. And you will see what a major change it will cause. Hare Krishna. And since Mr. Ghanashyam Ubrani also is a businessman, and since he graced this occasion by his wonderful presence, so I request Mr. Ubrani also to address the youth. Thank you. And that reminds me, while we are driving, Ghanashyamji actually told us a very important experience that he had. He was telling that 3 years back, after coming to ISKCON temple and listening to a lecture, he considered that he must do something for Krishna from that time onwards. He considered that all his life he didn't do anything, he didn't give anything to Krishna. Although he has been a devotee of Krishna, but he didn't really do anything for Krishna or give anything to Krishna. And then 3 years back he decided to do something for Krishna, give something to Krishna. So he went back home and he spoke to his brother and he spoke to his wife and he expressed his desire to offer something to Krishna. His brother said, don't give so much, give a little less. But he also did not disagree that they would offer something to Krishna. So from that time onwards, part of his profit always goes to Krishna. And he was telling me that from that time onwards, his business started to flourish. His business started to grow. His business started to expand. So in this way we can see, when you do something for Krishna, we benefit, we don't lose. Thank you very much, Ghanashyamji.